Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Take Two Radio. We are pleased to bring you interviews with people in the entertainment and music industry, discussions and recaps of the four remaining daytime soaps, that's The Bold and the Beautiful, The Young and the Restless, General Hospital, and Days of Our Lives, as well as various other shows. For upcoming and previous shows, check take2radio.com, that's with the number 2, and you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and other streaming apps. Follow us on social media at Take Two Radio, and thanks for listening.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I am Pam, your host, and joining me today as my co-hosts are David and Candace and Vinny. Hi, guys.
Dirk, wait a minute. Hold on. Hi.
Hi. You were muted. Who muted you?
You know,
see how we're starting out? Well, let's get to it because Vinny doesn't have a lot of time. He's actually gracious enough to call in from work, and so he has to ask his questions and then get off and go back to work. So just letting our audience know, tonight we have the pleasure of speaking with the multi-award-winning powerhouse of digital series, film, and television, with a stellar career as a director, writer, and producer. Gregory has captivated audiences with his storytelling and creative talent. Please welcome Gregory J. Martin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hi, this is Pam.
How are you doing?
Yep.
Hello, how's everyone doing? Who do we have in the room? We have Pam, we have Vinny, we have Candace. Like, who else?
Well, we had Candace, but Candace's call just dropped.
There she goes.
She'll be calling back.
Yep. There she is. She's back.
It's nice to hear all your voices.
Oh.
Thank you. Oh, she dropped again. What is she doing over there? I don't think she wants to talk to you, Gregory. Normally I ask the questions first, but as you probably heard, Vinny has to get back to work, so I'm going to go ahead and let him ask his questions first.
Awesome. Love that.
Well, thank you so much. And Mr. Martin, first off, I want to thank you for the support that you've shown my other podcast, Doc Side at the Bay. Absolutely. It's great to get the, you know, not only the reposts and the likes, but the interaction and, you know, just all the support from you. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that. And thanks for watching the show and enjoying it and sharing those stories all over again. What season are you on now?
We're on season 1, where we started with the Bay in the beginning. And then now we're working on season 1, and we'll catch up eventually because we're doing 2 episodes every week. But
cool.
It's been great for me finally, you know, being introduced to it at the end of 2023, in that it's definitely a breath of fresh air in terms of just the storytelling of the series. No, absolutely. And that actually leads into my first question. Being that the Bay started as a web series and continues as a streaming series, did you shop the Bay to any of the traditional terrestrial channels like network or cable, or did you just have the vision to stay on the web?
You know, I think we were kind of taught, we were told early on to stick to streaming because it was the kind of the way of the future. So we never pitched it to any of the networks. I guess you're referring to like CBS and NBC and all the ones that actually air the broadcast soaps. No, we never have. It's always kind of been designed as a streaming show. So we always kind of went after, you know, the Peacocks and the Amazon Primes and the Tubis and all those, you know.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and it seems to me like you have less restrictions as a streaming series.
We don't have, there's a lot. I mean, I have, you know, I still own the creative control of the show, Laney Entertainment, mm-hmm. our company, Christos and I, we own Laney Entertainment. And so, you know, I have full creative control of the show. And there obviously is some censorship that we have to go through, you know, once we mm-hmm. turn the episodes into the different streaming services. So, like, they'll, you know, they'll QC the show to make sure that there's nothing in it that has to be removed, make mm-hmm. sure that it kind of fits there. But we do have, you know, all creative control, and it's a lot more, there's a lot more liberties with going streaming and being an independent series that it's self-produced. So it's been pretty amazing. I'm very grateful.
It really has, and you can tell just by watching it.
Yeah, thanks.
This is more of a storyline perspective question. Mm-hmm. What is the time gap between where the beta beginning ends and where the beta season one picks up?
Yeah, there's we kind of keep it. We try to keep it as vague as possible because, you know, unlike a daytime soap where they have, you know, 200 plus episodes a year, we only do, you know, a certain amount. And so, you know, if we had as many episodes, then we can kind of move it along with time. But since we don't mm-hmm. really, we just kind of it jumps in time every once in a while. You know, we'll just kind of skip over a time period. So between the Bay, the beginning, and season one of the Bay, which is the Amazon, that where we went over when we first released on Amazon, that is mm-hmm. a 3-year span. It's 3 years later.
Okay. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Vinny. Thanks. I'm looking forward to, you know, I'd love to kind of come on to your show when you're at, you know, season, well, we're actually going into season 9, so you've got some binging to do.
We do, yeah. We've got some ground to pick up. But thank you so much for answering my questions.
Of course, yes. My pleasure. Thank you for being so supportive and enjoying the show and spreading the word about the Bay. You know, it's we're like the little engine that could, and we keep on keeping on. So,
of course.
Most definitely. Thank you, Vinny. Yeah. Have a good night at work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'll go next. So I first of all want to say congratulations on your multitude of past Daytime Emmy wins for the Beta series, as well as your recent nominations. So yay!
Yay, yes. It's very exciting. We're very happy. So.
We're thrilled. We are very thrilled. I mean, the Bay has captivated us for quite some time, and we hope it continues into the future.
Yeah, well, we're, you know, I know that we don't have the episodes available on VOD just yet. For this last season, we released it on Popstar TV in last year, which is mm-hmm. what makes us qualified. You know, it was released on a daily basis last year, which qualified us for the Emmys this year. But we haven't released them on VOD yet. We've been a little slow in doing that this year, but we're hoping, and the plan is that before the Daytime Emmys airs in June 7th, on CBS, that we'll have all of the episodes up and available on Tubi and Amazon Prime and so on. So that folks
awesome.
Can binge the Bay, you know, before or during the Emmys. Yeah, so.
Awesome. Well, there's one thing I did notice, and that is it's available in Australia.
Yes, Channel 10 and Template. Template is the Australian version of Netflix. The show is available on there's a few territories overseas. It's Australia, South Africa, ABC. What is it called? It's goodness, I forget. There's another channel. It's escaping me now. In Europe, Hollywood. No, what is it called? Planet TV. It's called Planet TV.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. I didn't know. I thought that was just like our baby of the United States, and here you are across the world. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we're not quite as across the world as much as we want to be. I know that
well,
we're heavily pursuing
there.
It. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I know that Canada is a big territory that I would really like the show to be available in Canada. The interesting part, if you watch the show daily, because the show does air daily on Popstar TV, so you can watch it Monday through Friday. They air episodes every day. It's kind of like a syndicated on Popstar, where you can watch the episodes live every day. If you just download the channel onto your Roku device or your Apple TV or wherever you can get it, and it is around the world, so you can actually get Popstar TV all around the world. And so to watch it live, they only air it at 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Pacific, so whatever time zone that is, wherever you are, you could watch the show live anywhere in the world. So it is available all around the world, but it's not available on VOD. It's only available during that live time,
right.
That live channel. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, it's great, though, that you're across different platforms, so anybody that's not available to watch it live, you know, can go ahead and watch it anytime. So, as we say, binge the bay.
Binge the bay, yeah. that expression, that hashtag actually came from Wendy Rich. She, you know, she's my writing partner and our executive producer. Mm-hmm. And and by the way, I was a massive fan of hers during her General Hospital days. So it was such an honor to have her join our show. I'm very grateful to be working with her. But, you know, several years ago, I think when we first landed on Amazon and we started to kind of – we released all the episodes at once, all of season one at once, and I think season two and maybe three, I can't remember exactly how – but she created the hashtag Binge the Bay, and it stuck ever since. And now we use it all the time. So.
Yeah, well, it's perfect. It works, you know. Yeah. Everybody that sees the hashtag knows exactly what that's for. So good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to take you back just a little bit because I always like to find out where people got their inspirations from to get into the entertainment industry. So who or what inspired you? Was this when you were little boy Gregory or did that come later?
It definitely was when I was a little boy. I can't even remember when it goes so far back that I can't remember the thought to be in entertainment. It was it just goes too far back for me to remember. I was kind of creating stories and drawing pictures and creating my little magazines and doing everything that I was, you know, as a kid. I say that the idea of the Bay came when I was about 7 years old. It was watching, you know, every Wednesday we'd go to my Aunt Rosetta's house, my mom, and they'd watch Dynasty. And it was like, and we were only allowed to watch some of it because they were kind of like, I guess there were moments where they'd kick us out of the room. But
yeah.
I remember loving that show as a kid growing up. And it was just so kind of outrageous and fun and exciting, and the characters were so alive. And so I was a big fan of Dynasty as a kid. I loved that show. And then also my babysitter, Sarah, her name was Sarah. She would race us home from school to catch Santa Barbara, which was another show, you know, similar to Dynasty for me as a kid. That's the way I saw it. And it was also larger than life in a lot of ways and just very entertaining. And I loved Santa Barbara. But, you know, even before that, my mom, you know, she was a big All My Children fan. And then my sisters loved One Life to Live and General Hospital. And so it was always, soaps were always on our TV. So I would have to say my siblings and my mom and my aunts and my relatives who watched soaps, since it was, you know, I was kind of like the only boy around growing up. And so they kind of took over the TV with their soaps, and that's what I watched. And it was, it was pretty amazing. I mean, you know, they had some, you know, the 80s was with prime, 80s soaps were what paid for prime time at that time because they were so popular and everybody watched
absolutely.
Them, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was that's really my inspiration. I was also a big horror buff. I loved Wes Craven. I loved Stephen King, and I would watch. I was just really big on horror, and so I think there's a lot of dark elements to the bay, but mm-hmm. my influence would be what, you know, growing up, you know, with, there's a little bit of a supernatural essence to the bay, you know, with the, you know, the curse of Red Garrett and, mm-hmm. you know, the ghosts that appear on the show throughout the seasons. There's always a ghost that pops up somewhere, you know, and there's some like horror elements to it. So I would say my influences were, you know, growing up watching soaps and watching horror and then kind of merging the two worlds together to create the bay.
Yeah. What is that noise?
I don't know. That was the ghost of Red Garrett.
Yes, I was just going to say, you talk about ghosts and here they come. Thank you for joining us, ghost, but please don't make noise.
Yeah, keep quiet.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind supernatural aspects in TV shows because I just like those kind of things. Anyhow, I watched Supernatural, the TV show, for 15 seasons and so on. And I watch Ghosts now on CBS, you know. I think it's CBS.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't mind that kind of stuff. The horror thing is like, okay, unless it gets too bloody. So I'm glad you don't go to that extreme.
Yeah, no, I definitely... You know, I don't make, it's not a slasher, you know, it's a, mm-hmm. it's more like the supernatural elements I kind of implement
right.
into my story. It's,
yeah.
I mean, I believe in ghosts and spirits and I, you know, I believe in all that. And I think it's, you know, you have to make sure you keep it real. So I do try to keep the stories real. The one thing I, you know, which is a very soap cliche that I don't do on the bay is, you know, people coming back from the dead. So mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's ever seen, there's never been a character on the bay where somebody came back from the dead. And we don't usually do that. So if you die on the bay, if your character dies on the show, then that's it. But, you know, they might come back, but if they do come back, it'll be in a spirit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been done so much and we appreciate it most of the time when it's done, because a lot of the time it's a favorite character. But it makes you stand out in a different way.
I mean, there is a chance that the character who died does come back, but it would only be if we didn't see their death on camera, or mm-hmm. if they're back in ghost form. But we don't usually bring a character back, or if they're recast. Sometimes, you know, there's been a couple of actors that
have
played more than one character on the show, which I don't really like to do too often, but sometimes we do. So.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I would like to talk about is that there's listeners are familiar with your work on the Bay, pretty much. And some mm-hmm. of them may not know that you also direct and produce and write for other projects, such as your recent role as executive producer on the film Bring the Law. And that stars Mickey Rourke. Could you discuss mm-hmm. your experience on that project and your contributions?
Yeah, I mean, my contribution, that was one of, there's, you see, when you're in this business, there's different roles that a producer takes on. Sometimes you're more involved in a project than others. Sometimes they're more credits, or you have deals with, you know, with the producing team in some aspect, or you're part of the producing team. I had very little to do with the Mickey Rourke movie. I worked with this team on multiple projects. But it's my way of kind of branching out and being involved in other projects, because the Bay takes up so much of my time that mm-hmm. I don't just want to do the Bay. I want to be involved in other projects. So sometimes, you know, I'll contribute on a project as a producer, which requires a lot less involvement, because, mm-hmm. you know, people sometimes they'll look at my credits and say, Mike, you're attached to so many different projects. How can you do all of this? Because some of the projects, you know, I'm not as hands-on as I am on the Bay. You know, the Bay, I direct, I write, I produce every episode, where, you know, my involvement in some of these other films are minimal. And so I'm not really required to do much, you know, just show up, you know, do a couple meetings or be here for this or help with a casting or help, you know, find financing or put together a crew or, you know, help with whatever, you know, things might be needed to make sure that the project is still going. And so that's why you'll see some credits on my IMDb as a producer. Some I have more involvement than others. I would say my involvement with the Mickey Rourke project was very minimal.
It still counts, Gregory. It still counts.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to be part of that team, and I'm happy to be, I'm happy to be a part of it. So.
Is that why you'll see in different films or even television shows a multitude of producers and directors and so on?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certain producers that might be attached, you know, because they've helped bring in the financing, but they didn't really have a lot to do with the, on set day-to-day activities. And then other times they're involved, it's called a vanity credit. You'll see Steven Spielberg has lots of vanity credits, but he doesn't do much on a lot of these films, but just having a name attached can sometimes help the project, get greenlit or, bring in financing or bring in a particular star, or you might be attached because you brought in a particular star. There's all different ways that you can get a producer credit. So,
mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you're there, you're on the ground, and you're very, very involved. And some of them I'm part of the day-to-day activities, and sometimes I'm there three times out of their 20-day shoot, or sometimes I might not even show up on set at all, and I'm just doing something in the background, So it really all depends on what the project is and what the deal is.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I've always wondered why you would see so many different names in the same position, so... That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, thank you for answering my questions. I might have a couple more for you at the end, but let me go ahead and have David ask his questions.
Hi, David.
Hey, Gregory. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you. I am basically new to the base, so I'm just getting started with it myself. But I do know a little. Let me see. My questions go like, what relevant social topics were your favorites that the network wouldn't chance to air?
First of all, my BLM storyline, I know it was a very controversial one, and at that time, nobody was taking the risk. To do anything related to BLM, and I think we were the first. So I would say that one would have to be the most controversial one that we've done on the show, and we were very tasteful in the way we did it, and I believe, and it was very true to what people were experiencing in 2020. COVID also was another topic, and I always, we did risk doing a COVID story because people were so kind of tired of hearing anything related to COVID after, we kind of have the thoughts, well, will people just not enjoy the season because we've been, we were stuck in our homes and we couldn't do anything. And so it was just kind of very traumatic to so many people around the world. But I think we managed to keep folks entertained, that's season six. So there was a lot of social relevant issues going on. We had our first gay marriage in season six, which was one of my most favorite storylines. The Daniel and Caleb story is definitely one of my most favorite storylines of the show. And there's still so much more to come with that storyline. I would say that we did a rape storyline earlier I know some of the scenes were a bit graphic for some audiences. I remember going through that, and there were some things that were, we should have probably been a little more delicate with that I wish I could have done. I think later on we added kind of like a warning in the beginning of the episode because we, which we would not have happened if we were on a network. Yeah, so I think those are some of the things that stand out to me. I think, did I answer your question?
Yes, very, very much. Thank you so much. My second question is, what do Nicholas Koster and Jacqueline Zeman mean to you, and how do you fill their void?
Oh, my goodness. What a question. That's a hard one. You just gave me the chills. So I'll start with Nicholas. Absolutely beautiful man, super talented, one of the best actors I've ever worked with, and one of the best actors that ever graced the industry. He was just a flawless performer. He was quite the character. We had a very interesting relationship because there was definitely a love-hate relationship between us. Never hated him, actually, but we have very strong opinions. I think he has a very strong opinion, or he had a very strong opinion, and so did I. And so sometimes we clashed. But the one thing that never faltered when it came to our relationship was the respect for one another. And I was a fan of his, and I still am. And I believe he was a fan of mine. And he was very special to me. We cast the role after a while because, you know, he wanted to kind of go his own way, but it never stopped our friendship. You know, we would always see each other. I'd invite him to our screenings, and he did another movie of mine. But he was quite a beautiful man, in so many ways. And, I loved him very much. I still love him. He's definitely going to be missed. Jackie Zeman was a very, very close friend of mine, she was all light and beauty. And I was a very big Bobby fan. Everybody loved Bobby in General Hospital. Mm-hmm. And so when I had the opportunity to have her, I created the role for her. I of course, immediately did. And we grew very close over the years. I met her when I worked in General Hospital back in 2005, and we became friends. And then I cast her on The Bay when we were a web series at first, and then like a year later, I created the character of Sophia Madison for her. I was actually just talking to one of my actors earlier, actually Mike Manning. Who plays Caleb. We're just talking about the scripts and stuff because the actors just got their new scripts. And I said to him that there was one thing that I will always miss about Jackie, and she was always the first person to read the scripts. So as soon as she got her scripts, I got a beautiful message from her saying how much she loved the scripts and how much she loves playing Sophia. And with her beautiful voice, because she had the most sweet, oh God, I love her so much, you know. But I think her death hit me in ways that I just didn't expect. We just came from shooting The Bay in Italy, and I landed, it's even hard talking about, but I landed and I went onto my phone and I saw these messages about Sophia, Jackie's rather. And I just didn't expect it. And it was around my birthday, and I couldn't even celebrate my birthday. It was just, there was no way to do it because her death affected me so much, and it took a really long time to get over it because it was so shocking. She was the light of our show. She was, you know, she just brought so much. She was so passionate about playing Sophia, and the most, I can't, and, you know, I love my actors and I love all the wonderful people that I get to work with. But she was untouchable. She was unmatchable in her grace, and I will miss her dearly. And, we're about to go into a new season without her. And, it's definitely going to have an impact because she brought so much joy. You know, oftentimes, you know, when I'm having I'm getting a request from someone for an interview, or I'm getting a request if somebody would participate in something, or I'm hosting a party, I'm always, you know, her she comes to mind, because it's like, wait, you know, Jackie Zeman is not going to be here right now. She was such a big part of our show, and she still is. And even in season 9, we're doing a very special storyline for her, for the character of Sophia, to keep the character alive, which we're very excited about. I would never recast, but Sophia will still have a very major presence on our show, because, you know, she's such a big part of the show, and she was such a wonderful human being that I, you know, there's no words that can really define the impact that she had on our show, the impact she had on me, and also how much she will be missed.
I know, we all miss her.
Yeah. Thank you for that question.
We had the pleasure of speaking with her. Unfortunately, I didn't personally, because I was sick that day or something happened. I don't remember, but I'll always regret not being able to speak with her. But I'm glad my crew got you. And we miss her all the time on General Hospital. So thank you. That was a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for asking.
You're welcome, David. Thank you. And now we'll go on to Miss Candace, who has stayed on the phone
Candace.
Not popped off.
Hi, sweetie. I know,
Hi,
right?
Candace. It's so nice to hear your voice.
I know.
Amazing.
It's like, it's funny because I'm sitting over here and I realize I'm probably one of the few that has been there from start. Like, Blip TV on up, like, to see the evolution of the Bay. You know, I had to bring up Blip. I'm like, Blip, shut up. You know, like, just to see the evolution of the Bay. And I was really good. I didn't talk about the Emmys a lot, which is, I know, not normal. But I did want to congratulate you and the team for, again. I mean, come on now. Like, seriously, though.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice. Thank you.
Yeah. So the joke was, because I've always talked to you, like, on social media stuff, I really had no questions. But I was told to have two questions, so I did come up with two.
That's right. Otherwise, she was getting fired.
Well, thank you.
Big lie. Okay. So let me be professional now, whatever that means. Okay. Somebody who's been there from the start of the digital soap era, I know that's crazy when I said it like that, right? Okay. What do you think has changed over the last couple of years with the digital creators? I'm not going to say the B word, budget, but, you know, that's a part of it too. So what do you think has changed? Because the digital soap era has definitely evolved. So what do you think has changed?
Well, first of all, production values, right? I think that when we, you know, when we all started, there was, you know, we were always striving to make a better program, right? So we learned, we all kind of learned together. You know, we kind of fed off of each other, and we learned what we wanted to do to make our shows better. And so I think that's the key, was to making sure that, you know, because we were finally receiving the recognition, you know, as independent artists to create content, you know, as we were creating content, we were starting to receive recognition, particularly with, you know, the Emmys or, you know, forms of distribution. We knew that we had to up our game, and we had to, you know, make sure that we have the, you know, the right lighting and the right cameras and the right stars attached and the right, you know, camera angles or the right locations or production design or so on and so forth. And so that obviously was very clear that every year all the independent programming, you know, just increased their production values across the board. So that's the major thing that changed. I find that sometimes they sometimes we're not as what's the word I'm looking for? We're not as supportive of one another as we should be. I think I think that needs to change a little bit. If I were to give a critique on the digital world, you know, I try to, you know, I love Anthony Anderson. You know, I try to be very supportive of what, you know, what each of us are doing. And I don't know if that's across the board. I don't know if that's a very, you know, sometimes I feel like we, you know, we lack, I try not to do that, but I think we lack having that support for one another. It becomes a little too competitive. And by the way, it happens the same in, you know, with the four broadcast soaps, you know, I think being supportive of our community, which you've always been, is so, so important. And I think I've noticed that it tends to, you know, it tends to kind of, sometimes it's supportive and sometimes it's not. And that's not good. You know, I think we need to be a little more supportive with one another. And this is not a competition, you know, and I recognize the shows, you know, the ones that appreciate that we're now in category one. And it's not like, oh God, they're in category one. Let's, you know, you know, it shouldn't be that way. You know, it should be like, we should grow each other. And the same with daytime. It's not just digital. Like, I think that there's too much competition with one another instead of support with one another. And that needs to change. So.
I definitely agree. And, you know, the joke is, and you know this because you see it on social media, I'm the kumbaya of the soap community, where I'm just like, I congratulate everybody on every little thing.
You've been that one. You've been so wonderful with that, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. I mean, because I always say this, you know, the genre, daytime genre, whether it's digital, international, network, or even audio, we are one. We are one.
Right.
You know, we are, our agenda is we're supposed to entertain, but we're doing it together. Like, it's a group of people who are doing this for the entertainment and for just that alone. And it's just, it's interesting because, like I said, I really do feel a certain type of way by saying this. I, as one of the pioneer fans of the digital and whatnot, it's just, again, like being there from the start, because I just remember, do you remember message boards? Remember message boards? Like how crazy that was?
Yeah.
Like the Evans, like I said, you know, from there to now, and like you said, it has become a competition on a certain level, and it doesn't need to be, because look, let's be honest.
There's plenty of room for everybody.
Exactly. Open arms. Yeah. We're open arms. So.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
That's one question. The second question, I have to be the deep thinker. This one. What was the best piece of advice ever given to you that you can share with our listeners?
That's a good one. I mean, I've gotten so much wonderful advice throughout the years. I mean, Wendy Rich gives me advice all the time. You know, my partner Precious Mays has always given me great advice. Christos gives me great advice. He's wonderful. So I think, I mean, I couldn't really tell you. My mentor Jerry Kessler gave me some wonderful advice throughout the years. What is the best advice? Okay, I'm going to take this a little, maybe it's not, I don't know if it was a direct advice, but it was more of an upbringing thing. I'll give it to my mom. It was the idea of loving. And I think she operates from love, from a place of love at all times. And so I would say, you know, operating from a place of love, I would say that that's probably the best lesson that I've learned in my life. That, you know, you can't come from a place of anger or bitterness or any of those elements. I think it has to come from a place of, like, just if you operate from a place of love and knowing no matter what obstacles you're faced, with, that you, you know, you tap into the love in the end would probably be the best indirect advice I've ever gotten in my life.
There you go.
Oh, you make more friends that way.
Yes, you sure do. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for answering my questions, and I'm going to binge the bay, as I always do.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll see you in June.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll add something to it just for those listening out there who are content creators. It was also indirect, but I learned it. It was like actually, I say it comes from the school of John Carpenter. And that would be, and I've said this in interviews before, is just do it. When you want to get something done, don't wait for it to happen. Do it yourself. So that would be my career advice. So.
There you go. Write that down, folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Candace. My last question for you is, you know, they say work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
So what do you do to have fun? What do you do to relax?
Well, I love what I do. So what I do is definitely fun. I love to write. I love to direct. Writing helps me relax a lot. I just go into my zone and I go into my world of writing, whatever it is that I'm writing. But, you know, when I've had a stressful work situation happening, the best thing to do is, again, surround myself with the people that I love and just have a good time. We go grab something to eat, have a couple of drinks, you know, just kind of all kind of bond together and connect. You know, we have a hashtag called the Bay Family that we use often because a lot of our folks from the Bay, we get together. I mean, I host a lot of parties too at my house. And I think, you know, keeping that family environment around the people that you work with, that you're close to, that you can trust, is probably my escape. I also love to travel. Traveling is always fun too. So I would say those are probably the best things for me, just kind of surrounding myself with people that are good energy people and enjoying each other's company. And then also, you know, traveling together.
Yeah.
So that's my.
I think if you can travel together with all the people that you work with and still come out on the other side as a family, you've accomplished something major. You know, it doesn't always work that way. It's like when you know, your first boyfriend and girlfriend, or you first get married or something, you first live together, and it's like, he gets on my nerves. So if you can get through all that, you got a good thing going. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I just wanted to let you know, there's been many times I've wanted to reach out and ask you to be on the show, but we've just been busy so much. Our people, you know, we have illnesses and stuff like that, and you're always busy, and I never want to interrupt somebody that's being creative. So I'm just glad we finally got to connect together.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Thanks so much. And it was great talking with you, and it was an honor to be part of your show. And keep binging the Bay. I mean, we've got some wonderful people that are part of the show that I'm very grateful to be working with, like Christos and Precious and Wendy and Nadine Aronson. Nadine does so much. She's one of our producers. And Celeste, Christos' sister, who's like my sister. Obviously Mike, the D'Ambrosio. There's so many people that help make the show happen that I'm so grateful to have. And so we all, you know, I can speak on behalf of all of them to say that they really appreciate the support. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the support.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome.
That's what we do the show for. We've been doing it almost 12 years. So we'll keep doing it as long as everybody's out there wanting us to do it. And you're entertaining us. We'll be there for you.
Yeah, I do want to say one thing because I'm getting a text from my sister right now because I guess she's listening. So I'm just going to give her a little shout out.
Okay, go ahead.
She and I watch these soaps together. She was like my, I watched General Hospital and One Life to Live and Santa Barbara and Another World with her all the time. And she was, you know, I have to mention her because, I mean, she was like my, like I used to, when somebody asked me earlier, I forgot, was it Benny or David? I can't remember. One of you guys asked me earlier, how far, or was it, maybe it was you, how far can I remember? I mean, my family, my sister Caroline and all my relatives, kind of like, I used to force them as I told them my stories as a kid. I have to, you know, give her a special shout out because she was my first fan and my first audience member. And then, of course, my Aunt Janice, who, you know, I named the character after, Janice Ramos, who is probably also one of my biggest fans. So I'm very grateful to have the support that I have from my family that support the show and my stepdad, Anthony, and so many great people. So I just want to also give them a shout out as well.
Thank you. That's wonderful. I'm sure they all appreciate it, and they're very happy to stand by you and support you.
Yes, and my beautiful children.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we've just heard his next Daytime Emmy-winning speech.
Oh, yes, I did it here. Well, thank you. So if I don't get to get up on stage, I said it here. So,
that's right.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're golden here, Gregory.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Well, thank you again for joining us. We welcome you back anytime, and you have a wonderful evening.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was really sweet.
I want to be him.
That was Candace, what are you doing? Because we can't hear you.
Can you guys hear me now or no?
Somewhat, but not. You're like barely there.
I'm doing it now. Okay. This whole earpiece thing, I don't like it. I tried to be different tonight, but it ain't working. So, okay, yeah. I'm back to my normal stuff.
See, it was her turn, Pam.
Yeah, as I said, half the time my headset works and the other half it doesn't, and it just drives me insane, and I thank God tonight it works. So, you know, that's what we get to live with when it comes to these technical things.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
Anyway, such a pleasure speaking with Gregory. Honest to God, I have wanted to interview him for forever, but we just, you know, life.
Yeah. He's busy. Mm-hmm. There's no work. Like I said, September 2010, that is the exact date when the first episode dropped, like the first season on Blip TV. I seriously said, if you're listening to this still, yes, I still remember the exact date and sessions of the show. Like, I can remember certain things, and I'm just like, wow, I've been there from the start as well. Like, and that's a touch. And I mean, it's been 14 years now. Yeah, because we're in 20. Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better and better. And during the time of this interview, I was playing the theme song in my head. So there you go, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, I am a sucker for the music.
There's a fire in my heart. No, they. Oh, we don't have the rights. Okay, never mind. Oh. I can get away with that.
You're such a dork.
Well, duh.
But she's our dork.
That's true. That is true.
Love her to pieces.
Yeah, well, we love all of our co-hosts except. What I was going to say is we love all of our co-hosts, and we hope that Anthony feels better. He's got a migraine, and that's why he's not here tonight.
And Carolyn comes back eventually.
Hopefully.
Carolyn. Yeah.
And Vinny, too, because Vinny's working. So it was great that he was able to call in tonight and ask his questions and then go back to work. But, yeah, I'm grateful for all of you.
Yay.
Yay. And we're grateful for you, Pam.
Exactly. Oh. It's a love fest, you guys. Oh.
Oh, love fest. Oh.
Oh.
Everybody, oh. Virtual hug.
Oh, don't touch me.
He's touching me. He's touching me, Ma.
That's where the
we're okay. We're okay. It's been a long day. That's all there is to it. So I'm going to let you guys go because I have to prepare myself to get laser tomorrow and pray that it works on my shoulder. And I know you two can handle it. I know Candace can do this on her own. I've said it a million times. So,
don't do David,
go on YouTube, listen to her.
Oh, yeah, right? So you guys have a good show, and hopefully one of these days soon I can catch up with the soap talk.
Oh, we hope so.
I hope so, too. We'll see what the laser does. If the laser doesn't beam me to another planet and it actually helps my shoulder, maybe
beam up, Scotty. Beam up, Scotty.
Maybe next show I'll be able to stick around.
Oh, my God.
All right. Talk to you guys soon. Have fun.
Bye.
We will. Bye, Pam.
Oh, my God.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Hi. It's just us. We
yeah,
get to
we
do
have...
anything we want within reason.
Okay. I was going to say, can we call some lights on? Okay,
yeah.
So there is some soap news. We get, there,
okay, go.
Okay, so breaking news, folks. Days of Our Lives fans, jump up and down. As of today, this person reported to work today. Kristen Alfonso is back at Days.
Oh.
So rejoice because this was a reach. They got her. She went on set today to film her goodbye to, you know, Doug, because everybody's coming back for
right.
Doug's funeral, which is going to be later on this year. So, I think everybody was up in arms about it because they did, you know, the 15,000th episode, you know, photo shoot. They didn't
right.
see Kristen
and,
Alfonso.
And they didn't have, like, well, it seemed to some people that she wasn't on the wish list.
Oh, no, she was on the wish list, folks. Let me clarify something right now. She was on the wish. I mean, obviously, you're saying goodbye to Doug Williams. Doug only has one baby, and that's Hope.
That's
and,
right. She should be there.
You know, she did spill some tea. And in her interview saying there was a story, there was actually two stories, folks. And the one was, in fact, writer's strike. The other one was vetoed. That's all I'm going to say about it, but I'm just glad that they worked it out where Kristen Alfonso was to come back to say goodbye to, you know, to Doug. So it's going to be emotional in the next couple of months. Like, I think they're going to do it around December. Yes, this is going to tie into the 15,000th episode. So stay tuned, but I'm glad that they got her.
I am too.
So.
And we were talking earlier, and I remember I went to you. We were thinking about Peter, and you mentioned that it might be a hardship for him.
I will say this. You know, there was an interview that he did where, not going into too deep, where Ken Corday has said to Peter, when there is a story presented for Bo, they will reach out to Peter Ruckel. And I know fans are, you know, right now, you know, and I saw it on social media, you know, why can't you have, like, okay, Doug's passing away, it should be a Bope storyline. Something very controversial. I understand that everybody wants to see Bo and Hope. However, if I had to pick, I'd rather have Hope back on set because that is her father. The fact that you got Victoria Conifal as Sierra as well as Missy Reeves, who, you know, I'm glad that they got Missy because here's the thing.
She's
the original, and you have to do flashbacks, and I think that's what they're going to do. And so I'm proud that they got some of them. You got Matthew Ashford, who, by the way, is on the Bay. Oh my God. You got Martha Madison, Brandon Beamer. Like, you got them all because Janet put in the work. Janet put in the work to call out her and Susan Hayes because they came up with a list of who they wanted to come back. They reached out, and this is who we're going to get. So kudos to Dave. Congratulations. Chris and Alfonso, can't wait to see you in December. It might be multiple episodes that she's a part of. That is good news.
That is good news. They can relax.
Then last night we got the sad news. At age 75,
yes.
Meg Bennett passed away.
Yes.
She passed away actually April 11th, but we got news. The confirmation was last night, cancer. Most of you guys remember her as, I mean, she was on Search for Tomorrow. And she was on,
yep.
And mainly everybody knew her as the first Mrs. Newman on The Young and the Restless, Julia. The last time we saw her was like, 2 years ago for Eric Braden's 40th?
I think there was something going on. It was for his anniversary show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had some people come back, and I think Meg was one of them. I do remember seeing her.
Yeah. And not only that, but she gets the distinct honor of, they wrote the character off, but William J. Bell said, baby, you're going to stay on the show as a writer. And
she did.
And she won, you know, the WGA. She won an Emmy. She did Young and the Restless. She did General Hospital. She did Sunset Beach. She did Generation.
Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. She did General Hospital, where she met her husband of 20 years, Mr. Robert. They were together.
Bob Guza?
Yeah.
Is her husband?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Where was I? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they met on
General
Hospital.
No, I didn't know that. How about that?
Yeah. But, you know, many people took to social media. Eric Braden wrote a really nice tribute. Michelle Vaughn Jeans also wrote a nice little thing, too. But, yeah, Meg Bennett, and, you know, it's crazy.
Beautiful
because
lady.
Sweetheart, you know, who really, you know, Julia said, you know, Gregory has said about me and the soap community, Meg was another person who championed for this industry as well. So, so Meg Bennett, everybody, 75 years old, passed away from cancer. Okay. And there was other news. I'm like going by play here. For those who did not hear me on Friday screaming, I didn't mean to scream as loud, but Steve Kinn is out at Sony.
I did hear someone screaming. That was you?
No. No. So here's what we know. One, allegedly, we got this news April 19th, but apparently it was his final day of work, which was the day he appeared at the Days of Our Lives celebration. So that same day, that was his last day. Apparently, there's no word of why he has left or if somebody, you know, he was voted out. And we do not know who his replacement is. Now, let me kind of give you a backstory about Stephen Kent here. He started out on Capital. Y'all remember that show, Capital, the show that I'm still a little upset about? Five-year-old Candace is still upset about? Okay. He was on that show. And then he was over at Santa Barbara with Meg and all of them. So it was all a group. And then he became the vice president overseeing Days of Our Lives and Young and the Restless. So when we keep saying Steve Kent was like at both, you know, he was. So now the question is, what is going to happen now that Steve's out? We, again, don't know who his replacement is at this moment, but what is going to happen to Days and to Young and the Restless?
Ooh,
Right.
Someone's got to be there.
Look, I'll do it. Shoot, I'll do it. I've been putting, I put the work in. I'll do it. Gannis Mag VP for Sony.
You know what I was hoping? This mm-hmm. is a hope. I don't know if it's related or not, but I hope this move helps Ari's case.
Okay, real talk. We can do real talk on the show.
Yeah, we
I'm
can.
I'm questioning if that is a part of the reason why Kent left. That's all I'm going to say. I'm questioning certain moves at Dave's. And I'm questioning that, like, that's the number one question that I have. So, but up until now, we don't know anything. So
more about it.
Yeah, we don't know anything. We're probably not going to know until maybe like in a couple of weeks and whatnot. But yeah, this is a very interesting development that is going again. And I'm just going to go there. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I present to you coming in January on CBS, the home of Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, and this year's Daytime Emmys, June 7th at 8 o'clock, streaming on CBS and Paramount+. Plus, the gates will be open.
Yay. And were you surprised that the move was moved up?
Okay, so the week prior, we found out that the talk was canceled. And
right.
Here's the deal. I'm going to say this right now. Some of us on social
media. Well, not really
media,
canceled. They were renewed, but with a shorter season.
No. The talk has been canceled. Well, basically, their season is closing out now. Their season was closing out anyway. They did get in. You're right. They did get a pickup. It wasn't like really a renewal. It was like a pickup because remember the strike kind of delayed the season a little bit. So
right.
Just like with Albert Elementary, they only got 4 episodes left. So they really didn't have a full season. But the talk, they CBS owned, so they could do whatever they want. Literally, they did what they wanted. And as of December, there will be no more talk. We found this out, what was it, was it the 12th? Yeah, it was the 12th, right? The 12th, the 5th, or the 5th.
Around there,
like,
yeah.
Day, right now. I'm going to say this. It fell on the date of Another World being canceled 20-something years ago. Y'all was there for that.
Yep.
And to hear that the talk was canceled, if you were a Procter & Gamble fan, you screamed. Because many people feel as though this was a long time coming because there was a certain show that ran for 54 years
yep.
that was taken off to be put with the talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people felt vindicated. They felt a certain type of way because it was justice for As The World Turns. It was justice for Erna Phillips that day because, again, As The World Turns in Another World, that was her babies. I will say this. I was sitting try to rotate the talk to an earlier shift. And what I mean by that is I'm surprised that they didn't try to bump it up and try to be like our early morning, like rotate
yeah.
some show out. But, again, the staple of CBS has always been, I mean, I will give Wayne Brady his props because Let's Make a Deal is now part of the staple. So Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, your local news, Young and Russell's Bold and Beautiful. That's the staple
right.
of CBS. But if you're old school, it was Price is Right, local news, Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful, As Well Turns, Guy and Light. If you're a Procter & Gamble fan, you know that at 2 o'clock on NBC, there was Another World. At 2 o'clock on CBS, it was As Well Turns. So
right.
it's always been a staple. I will say this. I'm not a fan of people losing their jobs.
I'm not.
And I'm also going to give the talk their props because as somebody who they had to convince why this show should be on, the talk did something that The View used to do, which was promote their network brand.
especially their daytime. And I want to give Angelica McDaniel her prop because she's the one who came up with the daytime celebrating 30 years at number one that included As Well Turns and Gone Light. She's the one who extended the olive branch to NBC and to ABC when they didn't have their platform. I will say this, like I said, now the question is, who's going to do this? Other than podcasts, who's going to be the network or show to promote their daytime lineup? Especially come January, because we have the gate opening. Felt a mixture of that. I'm happy that the gates are coming. I'm excited. I'm worried. I don't know what. I'm afraid. I'm happy and I'm scared at the same time.
Same here.
I want to still know about Procter & Gamble because that, out of anything, has shocked me. Again, you would have told me last year, Candace, like when I say last year, I mean early in the year, like around this time last year, Candace, Procter & Gamble's going to come back. I'm like, you're lying. Nope.
Yeah, Procter & Gamble.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, Procter & Gamble. Okay. What y'all drinking? But it's happening. So I'm excited for the people at the gate. I'm excited for daytime. We got the Boulevard coming up with Vincent Irizarry, Adam Huss, Jordy. Hi, Jordy. I'm excited. I'm really excited for what's coming in the next couple of months, including a show in August called Serving a Day. Yeah, that comes back as well. So, and we will have some casting news later in the week about that. So I'm excited. So we got that going on, right? Okay. But wait, there's more news, David. There's more news.
Oh, we got more?
We got more.
Do we have cast?
We have, oh my God. No, wait. This is the big news. Okay. So if you were like me on Thursday and Friday, you were glued to Access Hollywood, Extra, Entertainment Tonight, and on Twitter to find out who was going to be nominated for this year's Daytime Emmy.
Oh.
And needless to say, it blew everybody's mind.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time ever, there was some shakeups. Like, I'm going to be honest, there was some shakeups that I didn't even see coming. There's some first-timers. There's even a category where there's no previous winner. Which is, and some of the winners have previously won 20 years ago, 34 years ago, David. Check us out. Had 11 nominations and only 2 wins. Has only won twice in their long career. And we have a 98-year-old young actor for guest performer. And we got Neighbors.
Amazon freebie.
So, David, okay, so real quick, I'm just going to go over it real quick about, you know, the nominees and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
I want your take about this because, like I said, it was some shakeup, and I do want to remind people that, yes, there were some people who did not submit. Maurice Bernard did not submit. Colleen Zink did submit.
She did.
She did submit.
Yeah, she did.
She went on social media to confirm that. Also, there's a fee that you have to pay.
Yep.
To be submitted and the executive producers and all that stuff. So I want people to understand that this is not a freebie. This money. So if some of your favorites didn't get it's because of money. You know, people got bills to pay. So. Okay, so we have for lead
probably
actor
a pretty penny too.
$300, and if you were late, it was $450.
It is.
Yeah.
Is $300? I was expecting a little more.
No, that's the Emmy ticket. No shade.
$300 to be nominated. $300 free.
Yeah.
To put your name in.
Right.
Well, that's not a common.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
That's
my bad.
Not
I'm
an
sorry.
Uncommon reason.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. That was 350. If they hit that deadline by February, and 400 by the late deadline. I'm sorry. My bad, folks.
Oh, it goes up if you're late?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
You know, like just like a bill. If you're late with your bill, they put extra fees on it.
They needed time. They needed time to think about it, and they thought about it.
They have a whole year. You know. Just saying.
Maybe. Well.
But,
someone said to me that the men in GH, they don't really have a pool of leads. It's only Maurice right now. Maurice is the only one.
I mean, which is sad. They tried to do some other people, but I'm going to keep it 100. Some of the stuff on General Hospital was very choppy. And people had to put together a reel, and the reel had to be, I believe, only between 15 minutes and 17 minutes long. So, you know, we talked about it last year, the pacing. There was a lot of pacing issues, and I will say that some shows have more supporting than leads, and General Hospital actually had more supporting because usually it's Days of Our Lives.
Right.
So it was very interesting to – not see a shout-out, but, I mean, this is the first time. David, do you realize this is the first time that General Hospital has not been nominated in lead actor?
It's the first?
I believe it is, yeah. Because usually it's Maurice.
Maurice and John.
Tony Geary.
Tyler.
Michael Easton.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. Very interesting. So here is the nominees for Outstanding Lead Performer in a Daytime Drama Series. The nominees are Eric Braden as Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless, Scott Clifton as Liam Spencer on The Bold and the Beautiful, Thorsten Kay as Rich Forrester, The Bold and the Beautiful, Eric Mossoff as Brady Black on Days of Our Lives, and John McCook as Eric Forrester, The Bold and the Beautiful, CBS. Okay.
Amazing.
Here's the interesting. Here's the interesting part. Last year, Thorsten snuck it. He got it. The year before that, John McCook.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Braden has only won twice. And the last time he was nominated was over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Clifton, as we all know, made history as a triple threat.
He made history. He did all three.
He made history. By the way, Scott, happy anniversary, sweetie. 20 years in the industry. Happy anniversary, honey. And then you have Eric Mossoff, and here's the thing. Eric has history, too, because Eric is the first supporting actor of Days of Our Lives, in Days of Our Lives history.
Yeah, he won for...
like, what, 10 years
there.
Ago? Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? When Eileen was playing Kristen.
Uh-huh. And Eric, your speech still rings true to the resurgence of soaps. You're right. We're getting a new one. We're going into a new one. Here's the thing about this category. I'm not mad at it. Is there some snubs?
Mm.
I mean, hey, okay.
Me.
Cool. You really?
Maybe.
Who do you? Okay.
Maybe not. No, I'm trying to think. Are we talking just the men or all together?
Oh, just the men. Because there's one particular name that I thought was going to be on lead.
But didn't make it.
And there's one that I was questioning where they were going to place them at. But they didn't even make that. But then again, I don't know if he submitted or not.
Billy Flynn?
Oh, no.
That's not the one you're talking about?
Mm-mm. One is from Days of Our Lives, and one is from Bold and Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Of course, we don't know if he submitted.
Right. And for those at home, I'm pretty sure you guys all know who I'm talking about, is Matthew Atkinson. I don't know if he submitted
for lead or supporting, because I thought he was phenomenal this year as well. And the other person is from Days of Our Lives, and that's Stan Fergal, because when EJ lost his mama, that broke me. So, again, don't know if admitted or not, or if they were placed for lead or supporting. So, that's – and, yeah.
Well, I thought it's easier to put yourself on lead on supporting than it is to put yourself on lead.
Well, this year is more easy to do guest performer, allegedly. Which I will talk about that in a minute. I'm not, like I said, I'm not mad at this list. I think we all understood the assignment with John McCook and Thorsten K. It was storyline, him dying. Come on now, like
right.
Eric Martoff, Rachel's custody. I mean, come on, talk about acting 101.
Yep.
You got Liam and Hope and Thomas and all that drama. And then there's Eric Braden. You don't even really need an excuse for Eric Braden to be in this category, but it's Eric Braden.
Right.
Period. That's all you need to say is it's Eric Braden. Okay?
It's Eric Braden.
Period. I mean, David Hootie, I don't know if we're going to do that, if we should wait. I think we should wait until closer to the Emmy,
yep.
You know, again, which would be in May, that we can all talk about, you know, put our submissions in, our lock. But, yeah.
Yeah, it'd probably be, well.
Probably be the
last
show.
Well, the Emmys are the 7th of June.
Right, so it would be next month. It will be our last show in May that we'll do our picks.
You should have to put that in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys who are listening to us right now and also on social media, you let us know who you think. Do you guys agree with the lead actor category, or do you think there was, I mean, obviously there was people that were snubbed. I mean, it wouldn't be an awards without people being snubbed. So tell us, what are your thoughts about this? And we'll probably read some comments if you guys are okay with that on our next show,
yeah.
If we have time. Okay. So then we have lead actress in a drama series. And I'm going to tell you right now, there was some drama regarding this category. I'll get to in a minute. From Israel Odds, Emmy Award winner Tamara Braun. From General Hospital, Fenella Hughes, who previously won, and Cynthia Watros. Michelle Stafford, who last hasn't won in 20 years as on The Young and the Restless. Catherine Callie Lane on The Bold and the Beautiful. And Anna Noel as Hope Logan, Bold and Beautiful. So what we have is 4 Daytime Emmy winners, a
yep.
woman who deserves her flowers every single time, and I'm not just saying this, she really does deserve her flowers, and you got somebody who finally put herself in lead. I'm so proud of you, girl.
Cynthia?
Now, Annika.
Annika.
Yeah, Annika Noel.
It's nice to see her in there.
It's
very nice to see her in there.
Yeah. Now, did I want to see Melanie Thomas Scott? Hell yeah.
Probably, yeah.
But again, we don't know all who submitted and who didn't submit.
And they're not going to tell us.
Right, I mean, well, they will if we ask them.
yeah.
We're detectives. If not her, I also saw it. I'm going to be honest. Ari Zucker, I will leave my comment later for that. But also, Suzanne Rock.
I heard your comment.
I think I remember. Okay, so let's just break it down here. When you think of the Daytime Emmys, especially lead at a couple of years, Ari Zucker has been the face of Days of Our Lives when it comes down to it. There was
she's
a staple, just like Peter Bergman, Eric Braden, Arthur Lee, Brighton Jane, you know, stuff like that. And that's not saying that's a bad thing. It's just, when it comes down to Days of Our Lives, you know, that's who you see. I said this when the nominations were prepared. I said this is the category every Days fan is going to look at, as well as Daytime, because we all know what's going on behind closed doors with Ari in Days of Our Lives. I said, and this was just me, this is not a reflection of Take Two Radio, I said that if they were to put Ari up, would it be because of the lawsuit? if she wasn't a part of the nomination, is it because of the lawsuit? And here's the thing. I said, do I think King Corday put her up? Yes, I do. Do I think the Academy didn't take her because they want to avoid, you know, conflict and controversy? Yes, I do. To me, and if she didn't submit, if they didn't submit her, or, you know, because whatever personal, you know, whatever, I will say this. Ari put in the work as Nicole last year, especially with the baby.
She deserves the accolades.
She deserves it.
For putting in the work.
Right. But again, because of, you know, and for those who are saying they wouldn't do that, they've done that at the Emmys, at primetime. They've done it, you know, at the Oscars. They've done it at the Grammys. They've done it so many places where, because of what happened behind closed doors, they, you know, shunned them. I'm hoping that's not the case, but half of me believes it, you know, that it's a possibility. So I will say this, and I'm not taking anything away from Tamara Braun, because Tamara, as
no.
Ava, my girl, put in the work. She showed her she showed why she is Tam Tam. That's what I call her.
Mm-hmm.
She did pick scenes with Steve Burton because that is her comfort zone. And they have
right.
chemistry. You know, no lie detected. I will say, again, this is a, I mean, and like I said, there was another person from Days of Our Lives that I was just like, damn, I would have loved to seen her on there, and that's Suzanne Rogers. Because
yeah.
her, Victor's death, her and Alex, her, you know, just getting herself together, to me, classic. That is a classic leading lady right there. So I really mad at this list. Again, this is a tight one.
I can't make up my mind.
Yeah, I'm like looking at everybody's like freaking, like I know pretty much what everybody submitted because it doesn't take a rocket science. But I will say I'm prepared for shock. But I like to see, this is what I like. I like when I say new blood, it's not the same old, yes. I mean, we've seen all these people, you know, in certain categories before, but this is a stack. This is stack. This is a good freaking, you know, this is a good one. Go here, y'all. So anything you have to say about this?
I think, you know, I don't think I'm going to be disappointed either way. Catherine, is a pitch hitter. I mean, if I see, I don't know, do I see a pattern? If it's going to go, you think, because it's been John Torsten, could it be Catherine this year from
right.
B&B taking it? I don't want to say that I'm glad Jackie didn't put in or like that, but it's nice to see Annika in there, that she
mm-hmm.
put herself in there. She made up because sometimes, you know, the I don't know what happens. Either they don't or they don't see them. And it's nice to see Annika up there.
I will say, I mean, here's the thing. You know, you have some – I think it was Scott Clifton and I think it was Maurice Bernard who both did this a couple of times, is that even if they have the material, they bow out to allow other people
mm-hmm.
to get in. And I
yep.
think we can all say, whether you like the character Hope or not, Anka, she showed up last year. It was mostly her evolution, as she's been saying in interviews. We saw the evolution of Hope last year. And
yep.
it was such a wonderful change in seeing that with the character. Like, we really did evolve with her. And enough, like, that was the story last year. That was, you know, her, Liam busted up, her and Thomas got together, her going, you know, against Steffi, her going against her mother. Like, we saw Hope being confident. So I'm, you know, and I'm looking at this too, and I'm thinking about when Jackie first won, this was sort of the same scenario where it was new blood, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with them. Real quick, for supporting performer in a daytime drama for actress, we got Jennifer Garner, who plays Donna, Lindsay Godfrey as Sarah, Courtney Hope as Sally, Allison Lane as Summer, and Emily O'Brien as Gwen. I'm going to say now. I wish Brooke Kerr was in this category. I know that Tabiana also submitted. This is, again, when I say supporting actress is really a tough category to get into because there are so many people that really had the material. And it's like, okay, if I'm a voter, I'm going to size it up. It's like, okay, this was really good, but damn, this was really good, and this was really good, and this was really good. And if I could, I would throw awards to everybody. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it is.
I'm glad I'm not the one choosing.
This is an interesting category because nobody has previously won.
Really? We got all fresh faces.
All fresh faces. Now, yes, we've had nominees before. But somebody.
The litter is green.
Right. I wish Emily, now I will say this about Emily O'Brien. I wish she submitted as Teresa and not Gwen.
You know that as a fact? That it was Gwen?
Oh, yeah, because it says Emily O'Brien
year.
Is Gwen. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the previous year, yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is a stack one. Now, when it comes to supporting actor, there are so many thoughts, but here we go. We have Robert Gosling as head daddy Marshall on General Hospital, celebrating 20 years on Young and the Restless today, this week. Brighton James as Devon Winters. Wally Kurtz. Yep, 20 years, man.
Justin.
We got Wally Kurtz as Justin. We got A. Martinez as Nadi on The Bay and Mike Manning as Caleb on The Bay. I'm going to say this. I was pleasantly surprised with A. Martinez, who has not won an Emmy in 34 years.
Oh, and he gets on it.
And then you got Mike Manning, who won last year because he's the executive producer on The, you know, like, he's all on The Bay. And then you got Wally Kurtz, and I'm going to say this right now. Wally, I don't know if you did, but I'm glad that the strong submission was real, and that was Justin. Brighton, he knows how to pick a reel, and then you got Robert. I don't know what Robert submitted. I'm surprised Darnell Turner's not on this list. I'm surprised that Mark Grossman's not on this list.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised that Greg Vaughn's not on, and I'm not saying it because of, you know, that Greg Vaughn's not on this list. I'm surprised that, it's something else too. I'm going to say it. I'm surprised Drake Hogeson is not either or on any of, or lead or supporting. And I will go say for supporting. Again, supporting is very hard.
It is.
But, and even though I know he put himself on the guest performer, Riel Andrews should have been supporting, should have been in the supporting category. It should have been nominated. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, definitely agree with the unreal.
Yeah.
Yes. That last scene just put me away.
And see,
and
I know
we didn't get a follow-up, but.
No, we didn't get a follow-up, and I would like to know what happened. Okay, thank you. I'm going to say this because I watched The Bay. Mike Manning and A. Martinez are
They're good?
They're good. Oh, my God. Like, A. Martinez's character. So, we don't have time. Okay, I got to tell you off the show. I got to catch you up. Like, we all know A. Martinez, either you know him as Cruz or when he was Royal General Hospital or when he was doing L.A. Law. Y'all remember that? Or when he was on One Life to Live or Days of Our Lives, right? Okay. We know A. Martinez can act. Like, we've seen the work. On the Bay, he takes it to a whole new level. Mike Manning, oh my God. Him is Caleb, and then there's, we always go to this person. We all know Matthew Ashford, right?
Yeah.
We know him as Jack Devereaux, or, you know, or over there, or Tom, you know, on General Hospital. His character on the Bay is a breath of fresh air. He plays creepy to the point where it's not even funny.
Oh, I remember Matthew, yes.
Oh, my God.
Matthew is something else.
He is creepy. Mary Beth Evans puts in the work. Tristan Rogers puts in, it is a who's who of your favorite daytime actors. So when I say it's like we all know these actors from their characters that they played on daytime. However, when they're on the Bay, and I'm
they
just
take
saying
it up.
They take it. It's a whole different side of their acting, which sometimes makes me irritated because it's like, okay, I know I've seen. Okay, perfect example is Chad Dole. Real quick, I give General Hospital a lot of flack for how they use Chad Dole because I feel as though they're holding him back. This is my opinion, not the opinion of Take Two Radio. On the Bay, when he was on the Bay.
They're freer.
It was like, hello. Like, I want that on my screen. You know, you had Eric Martoff on there. You had Martha Madison on there. Brian Gask. Woo! Yes. Like, that goes for all digital series, is when you see your favorite actor, like Venice is coming back for season 7. His Crystal Chappelle is dropping the cast list one by one. When you start watching these shows, you're going to have a newfound appreciation for that actor.
Yeah.
And the people behind the scenes. So long live the digital world, the daytime community, and all that jazz. Okay. So anyway, then we – like, wait a minute. Real quick, guest performer, the category that – has changed so many times that I've lost count. Originally, it was an original character. Then there was an episode count. Then it was you can be a previous character as long as you made a certain quota. Then it was, you know, just everybody can just submit. So the nominees for guest performer in a daytime drama series, the nominees are celebrating 38 years with his lovely wife that we currently see on Young and Restless as Diane Jenkins. Hi, Lyndon Ashby as Cameron.
Ashby as Cameron Kirsten.
Yep. Then we have the lovely, the talented Ashley Jones as Dr. Bridget Forster, the bold and the beautiful CBS.
Mm.
Last year's winner and our favorite TV mom, Allie Mills as Heather Weber on General Hospital.
Oh.
Here's the shocker right here, folks. Guy Pearce, yes, the Guy Pearce. As Mike Young on Neighbors, don't you need us to neighbor? Okay, we don't have the rights to that, apparently. And then we have the one, the only, the one that I called from Jump, Dick Van Dyke as Mystery Man / Timothy Robichaux on Days of Our Lives on Peacock.
Oh, jeez. That is tough.
I'm so much to say about this.
It's tough. That's a tough one.
If you go by the original rule, Dick Van Dyke fits it. Original character, only there for a short arc, rolled out. If you take a look at how they've played it, where if you was there for a certain episode count as a returning character, well, technically speaking, Lyndon and Ashley makes that quota. Allie Mills, and I love Allie, should not be a guest performer. Even though she was there for 17 episodes, the problem is that she's already won in this category. General Hospital has had this pattern of the guest performers have gone over to supporting. It happened with Max Gale, and it happened with Renee Watson. So this is kind of like one of those where now, because I can actually say this, guest performer was opened up to also include the younger performer. meaning that the guest performer was pretty much like just everybody can just, you know, go. If you couldn't get into this category, this, you can go into this category. We need a different rule ASAP because this is because the controversy is about Allie. Now, I watch Neighbors. And by the way, shout out to everybody who's joining the Neighbors board to find out what, why they got nominated. Mutt Young does appear in a limit episode count. Technically speaking, he's borderline. He's borderline between the two rules.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting because everybody is saying who should get it based off of certain things. I will say this. If they play this by the book, maybe an upset of the night, too.
I got to get on Neighbors. I
have yeah, you do. Amazon. Yeah, and the best part is they did a look back. And, okay, so real quick, because this was a controversy. Neighbors qualifies because, it's an Aussie soap that was on Aussie television. They canceled the show, 2 years ago. Amazon and Fremantle picked it up, which is American base. Therefore, they did promote, because the rule did say if they promoted in heavily in America on the American, you know, streaming, it would be considered for the daytime Emmys. Amazon did do that. Amazon, they promoted it in American television. So there you go. So it's going to be interesting. And then, of course, the daytime drama series, The Bay. Hey, on Popstar. The Bold and the Beautiful, CBS. Days of Our Lives, Peacock, General Hospital, ABC, Young and the Restless, and Neighbors. Don't you need a good name? Okay. I'm going to say this. We got 6 minutes.
No, we got six.
We got six.
Yeah.
And, folks, let me tell you, you got to think about this. David, do you remember many moons ago, there was at least seven or in the category of daytime drama?
Yep.
Do you remember year? Do you remember the year where we had the four soaps, but they only submitted three shows for Best Drama Series?
I remember that.
I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Get ready because it's now branching out. And the thing is that years ago, Brad Bell, Ken Corday, I believe it was Mal Young or Josh, and Frank all signed a document saying that they were okay with opening it up with digital content like The Bay and Venice and Anacostia, who has previously won Emmys. They was at the Creative Lifestyle, and I still call it Lifestyle Awards, even though it's Creative Arts and everything. But they were to be brought to the mainstream. Because y'all remember last year, they tried to do it with the prime time, and they shut it down. They're considered soaps. With the international brand, this is just like with Beyond Salem. They're testing the waters.
Yep.
Not next year's Emmys.
They have
Emmys.
Every right to.
Right. Not next year's Emmys, but the 53rd annual daytime Emmys. Be prepared to see more in the drama series because we're going to have a new soap opera, which is The Gates, coming out. Be prepared to see maybe The Boulevard on there and The Bay and Venice and Anacostia. The world of soaps and the daytime Emmys are changing.
Yeah.
You may not like it. There's a category we're all hoping that comes back next year. Because we're seeing the younger performers. But we all kept saying we wanted to change. We wanted to change in the daytime drama, in the daytime Emmys. Well, guess what? Welcome to the new world, honey.
Here we go.
All bets are off now. Again, drama series. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to say this. If The Bay or Neighbors wins, I love my Bold.
People better
I love my Dave. I love GH and Young and the Rosters. Y'all know I ride or die for y'all. But y'all going to have to wake up. If anything,
yep.
the fact that we're getting a new soap, y'all better wake up. Wake up and smell that Folgers.
Yep, because you better get your crap together.
Sure, some of y'all better get your crap together right now because we're going to talk about this real quick. I'm going to skim it through. David, sugar, sugar, honey, honey.
Yep.
On the Bold and the Beautiful. Were you surprised?
I was not. But I have to tell you, I do not remember the time when Michael and Lauren went to see Sheila and that.
I do.
You know, I can't recall that time.
Okay. So,
they thought it was Sheila, but that was Sugar at the time.
Uh-huh. Here's what I will say.
Lauren said she didn't know at that time that was Sugar.
Somebody said on social media to take a look. I think this was like maybe a couple of months ago or of the opening credits and look at Kimlyn Brown. Because at first, Kimlyn Brown was like, you didn't see a reflection of Sheila in the mirror, in the window.
You didn't.
Take a look a couple of weeks ago at her intro. There is two versions of her in the – like, it's literally a reflection. So are they trying – was they trying – see, Bo, y'all think y'all slick. Because I see what y'all doing. See, Bo, you get the credit because sometimes you make us think crazy. I'm starting to think, like, was that your sign telling us that obviously, you know, because I said there's no way that could be Sheila that died. No way you're going to put Sheila out like that. And no offense to Stephanie, but the only person that should kill Sheila is Lauren.
That's true.
Just saying. This is classic soap. This is classic soap because there's a twist. We just don't – we have to connect the dots. We are the detective.
Yep.
Just like Deacon. Okay, when he saw the nine – because we kept saying the only way for us to know if it was Sheila or not was the toes. When we saw the 10 toes and Sean Kennedy –
I'm trying to think who it was.
Right,
I had to think for a while.
Well, it goes back to – okay, it goes back to – when Sheila came, when I do Sheila, I'm doing quotations, came to Steffi's house, right?
Right, yep.
Sheila wouldn't be that mellow. And I kept saying that. I was like, there's no way that's Sheila, because we know Sheila. Sheila would not be creeping up in there like, tiptoe through the window. She wouldn't be doing all that. She'd be like this. She'd be like waiting for Steffi. When the thunder hits, she's right there. Like, that's right, I'm stalking you. So and she didn't even put up a fight. That was another thing. So I've been saying from jump, I said, that's Sugar. That's Sugar. But I'm now curious. How long has this been going on? Did Sugar take Sheila? Where is Sheila?
Yeah.
Who, right? Like, I want to know how this is going to, because now Sheila has become a victim. But I'm going to say this. I don't need for them to redeem her. It's just now, Sheila, you now have a taste of your own medicine, if that's the case. We know that Clint Howard, guest performer for next year, the brother of Ron Howard, y'all know Ron, Ronnie Howard, Happy Days, big time director, the father of Bruce Howard, you know, is going to be on as a homeless man with more information about this. But it was also nice to see Lauren on the boat. See, this is, okay, for new viewers, I love the fact that, again, we get the flashbacks and we get the backstory because I think that was really crucial for this. I said this last night. Sheila has more of a mainstream or bold than Young and the Rosters, which means, and I said that is because Sheila has been on the Bold and the Beautiful throughout almost 30 years.
Off and on, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I love the fact that Lauren is there to talk to her, to talk to Deacon about it. I'm here for it. I'm here for this storyline. This is bold. This is why bold
is
bold.
This is bold getting bold.
Bold, right. Because I want to know where Sheila is, you know. And y'all
and how long?
Like, right.
To
like,
answer that question, how long was that Sheila that Steffi punched?
Right. Was that Sheila that Deacon was kissing?
Hmm.
How is Finn going to feel about this? But I will say, Ridge, Thorsten K played Ridge right on this by saying, look, you know, stop, like she did. Like, let us have that. Like, if you want to, like, memorialize her, you know, every once in a while, put a, you know, flower in the corner and do a little chong chong. I was like, you wrong, Ridge, for saying that. I was like, you're so wrong for that. I was like, I can't with this. But I will say, I'm enjoying the storyline. And shout out to Lauren St.
Yeah.
Victor and Heather Tom, because they are the ones who, they were behind the 10 toes. Heather Tom directed that episode. Lauren St. Victor wrote it. So shout out to you guys. So in case y'all didn't know.
That's making
you know. Yeah. So, okay.
This is a story.
This is a story about Sheila Carter. And, again, I kept saying, because that's going to make me question, like, how long, like, when did the switch happen?
Yep.
Because we know that Sugar's been contacting Sheila.
Yes, we do.
So, could have been. You remember when Sheila was talking to Kelly?
Yes.
At the restaurant. I wonder if that was Sugar. I wonder if that was Sugar. Because she was too nice to her. I mean, like, when I say nice, I mean she was too sweet to be Sheila sweet.
Hmm. Interesting. Let me go back.
Right.
No doubt.
Okay, so. Okay, so.
And she was too. She was a little laid back when she let Steffi hit her like that.
Exactly.
And
you know what? I'm thinking
the same thing you are.
Yeah, so this is going to be really interesting. Let's see what else happened because we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to cover all the stories. On Days of Our Lives, we got Holly pretty much told the truth to Nicole and to everybody. Brady feels a certain type of way. Tate and Holly are trying to sneak behind their parents' backs to see each other.
They're rushing that. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah, EJ was told, hey, look, if you don't do A, B, C, or D, you do realize when Nicole finds out about you knowing about the drug ring, she's going to drop you like a hot potato. I agree. Okay. I don't know what is going on, but I get it. Okay. Nicole and Brady are not going to be endgame. They were good together, but they're not. And usually the silk trait is, okay, it's the next generation to get it right. The problem is that you didn't play the beats. And to me, I feel as though this is like Allie and Tripp, where Allie, you know, accused Tripp of something, and then they became like a couple. And it's just something is not clicking, something's not working. I wish they would take their time, and this is what I'm going to say. Don't know if behind-the-scenes stuff interfered with the storyline. Because we have a recast, but we also have Ari.
Ari's problem.
Yeah, so I don't know if that played a part. Like, I don't see that's the storyline that I'm just, like, so scratching my head about. Because in a couple of months, we're going to be getting ready to wrap that up with Nicole. So she leaves around, what, June, July?
Oh, that's it. And we need something to happen in the meantime with her.
Right.
I mean, something in her life, and not in Ari's life.
I will say, though, the actress who plays Holly, she stands on her own. I like her. I like her.
Good.
Because you have a girl who is craving attention from her mother, who
yep.
is everywhere else. To me, if they craft it correctly, Holly is going to be that character that we invest in. Because there's some things that she doesn't know about her mother. Because she's like saying, well, I'm on my third. Technically, sweetie, is your fourth stepfather.
Right.
Xander was one of them. You see a girl hurt. And she feels neglected.
Yep.
We need more from that POV. And also... Dave, can you get Nadia?
Please.
And the reason I say that, because that's the surrogate. She carried her. There's something there. I like the character of Holly. I like where we're going at with her. She's going to be that character that spins out of control, but you feel as though you got to give her a hug.
Right. She's,
like, okay,
she's,
girl,
she's baby Nicole. It's all over again.
You know who she is? She's Sammy.
She is. She's more Sammy than Nicole.
Because Sammy wanted the attention. And she felt as though, even, like, okay, think about it. When Belle was born, Marlena loved some Belle. Sammy was kind of put on the side. You know what? Like, y'all tell us, who is Holly more like? Is she like Nicole, or is she like Sammy a little bit? Because, you know, I always say this. The rivals on these shows give birth to their kids. A la on Bold and Beautiful, even though she's coming into her own Brookness, for a while Hope was acting like Taylor. And
yep,
Stephanie was acting
was
like Brooke.
Thing.
Yeah. So you guys let us know what you guys think. So let's see. Real quick. Is he Bobby? Is he Robert? Is he whoever he is?
He's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Well, in real life, would you sign the papers anyway? Even though you don't know who you were?
Bye. I feel as though until
that's
I...
That's me thinking too much, but I know.
If I wasn't up to no good, then, yeah, I would sign the papers. But because I'm up to no good, I'm going to cause some shenanigans. And I'm sorry, I don't think this is a twin. I don't, like I said, I'm standing on my own island. I don't think this is a DID. I just think that he is a jerk, and he's trying to use both women. He's trying to play both women at the same time. I think, Stephanie, you're still stupid. I still love you, but you're still stupid. Because you're going to believe everything under the sun. Jada, I don't need you to fall for him. And see, that's my whole thing, is that there's guys and women who do this kind of stuff, where they pretend that they're sick and they don't have nobody to love, and they trick these people into doing their bidding for them. I don't need for them to, these two smart women to do it.
No. So, original thing that he might be just faking it.
He's a player. He's a con. I'm sorry. No. We're not doing this today. Okay. So, real quick, because we got a short time. General Hospital, Jason and the tattoo was explained.
Right.
He got it because he was thinking about all the people in his life. He got the Metro, half of the Metro Corps back for Carly. Carly and John Jagger Cape are flirting. Sonny's off his meds.
Yep.
But he knows something is wrong. But he knows something is wrong.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows. What do you think?
He knows, but he can't put his finger on it because I think... I don't know. He should know that something's wrong. Why he's acting that way.
Right.
He should have an inclination.
Well, he kind of did. Real quick, he kind of did when he was watching his face and he was drawing it. He felt like you know, again, for those at home, when you take your medicine, if it's a low dose, you're going to see, like, you're going to feel a change. Like, wait a minute, why do I feel dizzy? Why do I feel like this? I literally took my medicine. So, yeah. And also, full alert for those who saw today's episode, the friendship between Ava and Nina is over with. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Amen.
I know that's one change.
Amen.
That they did.
Because they shouldn't have never been friends.
Nope.
And Mara West and Cynthia Watchos, y'all got your Emmy reel for next year, too.
And I have to admit, Candace, I'm looking forward to the wedding.
I'm going to be curious at this wedding because I feel as though something's going to happen. I feel something is going to happen and it's not going to be good.
I hope they get married. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know. They're talking about finances and all that. You know, that's the curse right there when people start talking about, okay, I got this much money and you got this much money. How am I supposed to get this much money? I don't know. That's a curse. And then on Young and the Restless, there's so much on this one. Okay, I'm going to try to go by it real fast. We got Connor blames himself for pretty much everything that's been wrong in his parents' life. And you got Jordan, who told Harris, I'm your Aunt Jordan because mommy and daddy doesn't love you.
Oh, isn't that awful?
And Summer zapped out. All I got to say is everybody got your Emmy reel for next year, right?
Yep, even that little,
the new Lil Harrison.
Harrison.
That broke me. I'm like, but that's real life. That's how cults get started.
Yep.
So.
It is. I can't. I hope they get Harrison back. They both Jack and Victor, they like poo-pooed on Chance trying to help out. And, you know, Chance got his nose hurt. He's just trying to be helpful. The big board vote was today.
Oh, I didn't see it. Not yet.
Yep, well, to vote Nate in.
That was 1 minute. Oh, we got Nate in. Oh, boy.
To vote Nate in, and Lily's got to break the tie. As Jill and Billy voted no, Abby and Devon voted yes, so Lily's got to break the tie.
This is going to be interesting. Lily, don't do it. Don't be a nice girl. All right, with that being said, another edition of Take Two Radio has come to a close. We would like to thank... Go for it, David. Who do we want to thank?
Gregory J. Martin for coming in and speaking with us.
Hashtag Binge the Bay on Popstar.
Binge the Bay.
Popstar, Amazon, Peacock. Just type in Beta Series and check it out. And good luck to him and Team Bay at the Daytime Emmys. You guys, we will be back in 2 weeks to talk to you guys about the soaps. There might be new news. Who knows? You guys take care and stay well.
We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.